I am Planta on the line. This is thecommentary.ca. It is fitting for Canada Day that I speak to my next guest, Joey Taylor, about the marvelous six-string Nation guitar that was his vision and which he helped put together. The guitar named Voyager is made from 64 pieces of real Canadian history. Gathered are pieces of wood, bone, metal, and stone representing all the regions of the country, a number of characters from our past, each with a story about a place and time that is essentially Canadian. For example, from Drumheller, Alberta's, a piece of John Ware's cabin. He was Alberta's first black cowboy. There's a piece of Wayne Gretzky's hockey stick, one from Paul Henderson's from the 1972 Summit Series, part of Pierre Trudeau's canoe paddle, a piece of wood from a rafter of Pier 21 in Halifax, the port terminal building that was the point of entry for over a million immigrants to Canada. There's a piece of deck from the Blue Nose 2, and from BC, there's a piece of from Nancy Green's ski, and a piece of spruce taken from Haida Gwaii. All the items, this wonderful story on how it all came about, and remarkable photos of people famous and ordinary with a guitar, are all found in a new book, Six String Nation, 64 pieces, six strings, one Canada, one guitar. It's a great capstone to this project and a chance for all of us to see the guitar if you haven't already. It's toured the country, I'm told, traveling some 200,000 kilometers across the country, having been held by thousands of Canadians. Joey Taylor is a Peabody Award-winning freelance writer, host, and producer, working for many years at CBC Radio. He joins me from Ottawa this day, where he will be participating in Canada Day celebrations there. The book is published by Douglas and McIntyre. The website for more is sixstringnation.com. Please welcome to the Planta on the Line program, Joey Taylor. Good morning, Mr. Taylor.
Good morning, Joe.
Thanks for joining us.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
Where is the guitar now?
It's a couple feet from me here in a hotel room in Ottawa.
And where does it normally stay or sit?
It lives at my house in Toronto.
Did you worry, just having it around that you spill something on it or you break it or something like that?
not really. I mean, I'm certainly careful with it, and the concern that people usually express around this is that this guitar has been handled by thousands and thousands of people at this point, and people sometimes wonder how comfortable I am with that. But the fact is that by the time most people get to the point where we put the guitar in their hands, they've learned a little bit about it, or they already know about it, and they're anticipating their kind of moment with history in their hands, and they're tremendously respectful and excited, and they usually have that time on their own when we're doing the portraits in particular. It's kind of uncluttered, and it's a nice private moment. So I'm really not that worried.
Is it maintained regularly?
Oh yes, yeah. I periodically take it into the 12th fret on in Toronto, and also have a very handy network of very friendly people across the country who are instrument techs and luthiers who all look after it. So when I'm in Winnipeg, I go see John Sharples at Sled Dog, and when I'm in Vancouver, I go see Nicola Lasenac, and I got a place in Sudbury and a place in Guelph. And yeah, so it's all well looked after.
And these portraits, you're still doing them, are you?
Yeah, we're still doing them, partly because it really is it's kind of the perfect way. It's a great way for the festivals or conferences that we're appearing at for them to provide a moment for their guests to encounter the guitar. And it also keeps things really orderly for us. I've certainly been at some conferences and schools where, I don't have my photographer with me. And then someone says, well, can I hold it? And I'm happy to put it in their hands, but then of course you get swarmed, and then that person wants to hand it to someone else and whatever. But when we do the portraits, it provides a really, really nice orderly way for people to have their moment.
Was it always, you came up with the idea of the guitar. Was it always your intention to have it played?
Absolutely. Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, if it wasn't playable, it would simply be an object. It would simply be a curiosity, and I didn't want it to be that. I wanted it to be a playable instrument, because it was important not only that that people identify with the pieces in it as objects and as history, but that they saw their own voice in it and felt the freedom to express themselves through it. That's really the point of the thing, is so that not only does it reflect multiple histories of Canada and multiple perspectives on what Canada means, but also that it would be a vessel for further expression.
So this the idea for the guitar came back, what, 1995, did it?
1995, that's right.
Yeah. From then till when you actually had it in your hand finished, did you think that it could be done?
Well, I did, and George Rosani, the luthier who did the actual build, did. He was probably a little bit iconoclastic anyway. The reason why he was chosen for this project, and in fact part of the inspiration for the project, was the fact that George was accustomed to using unusual materials. So while some luthiers might have felt that this would be too difficult to make any of this stuff sound good, for George it was a challenge. In terms of trying to get funding for it and all that kind of stuff, that's where I encountered the real resistance to whether or not it could be done. And I think a lot of people simply decided that it couldn't, and therefore I got an extra rough ride in trying to get the thing done.
So no governments helped you in any way?
No.
And you funded it yourself, did you?
Well, overall and for the most part, yes. So I still carry the debt on it. But we did have some help along the way. The two most important, well, I'd say there's three important contributions. One is Mike Lazaridis at Research in Motion. One is Westerkerk Capital. And the other is the National Capital Commission. The National Capital Commission certainly provided some money really just to have us be present at that first Canada Day and have a presence that included, you know, flyers and posters and the photographer and that kind of thing. But really it was their faith that this would be a great way to celebrate Canada Day in 2006 that really made it all possible. The funding from Westerkerk and Mike Lazaridis made it possible, A, to pay the luthier, and B, to do some documentation around the gathering of the materials and the construction of the guitar. So all the rest of it I've carried. Since then, we've had periodic contributions from sponsors. We got a one-time Canada Council touring grant 1 year, but it was a kind of an exceptional circumstance. Various companies have kicked in a little bit of money for touring and that kind of thing. But it has certainly been a difficult sell and an ongoing problem.
I thought to myself, why a guitar and not something else or not some other musical instrument? But after reading the book and looking at the book, at the photographs, I don't think you could have made anything else. Was there any other thought to something else that you could have made, perhaps?
Not really. I mean, partly because, although some people have suggested drums and or violins, I think, first of all, the guitar is a tremendously democratic instrument. It plays music of many, many, many cultures. And since we're a country that exists with many, many cultures in it, that's the right thing to do. And second of all, if I ask you to put, 10 Canadians in your mind who have helped to define Canadian culture, whether they're from Quebec or First Nations or from the East Coast, I'll bet you half the people that you put in your mind are holding guitars. And it's also a guitar it's also an instrument, rather, that everybody's familiar with. It's something that if you don't play it yourself, chances are you know someone who does. It always comes out at the campfires, and it's just very familiar and comfortable, and I think Canadians have kind of expressed a very special kind of ownership over the guitar with the great songwriters that we have, and that's we've proved to be a powerful force in the world of songwriting, I think.
In terms of coming up with the idea and thinking of what to put in the guitar, was there something that you initially thought that this is Canada, this is what we need to get for the guitar? What was the first thing, perhaps?
Well, I don't know if I imagined a first thing. I suppose, you know, like anyone, I suppose if I asked you to build a guitar using pieces of material, probably the first things that would pop into your mind would be things that everybody knows, and certainly that's the case for me, too. You want touchstones for people, so you would want something from our hockey history, and you'd want something from our government history, and you'd want something from our natural history. I think, you know, once I had things like the Blue Nose 2 and Pierre Trudeau's canoe paddle and things like that, it was easier, first of all, to talk to other people about participating, because they thought, oh, well, wow, you see my community history or my family history as being equivalent to those. Although there's a funny story there about the Hoito restaurant in Thunder Bay, where Arno, who was the head of the cooperative, really didn't get when I was saying I really want a piece of the Hoito because it's an important part of, you know, the Finnish community in Thunder Bay, and it's part of labor history in Canada, and he was dumbfounded. He was like, there's nothing historical here. But you know, until I convinced him that his whole restaurant really was kind of historical. But you know, the point was not only to have familiar touchstones, because unfortunately I think in Canada we tend to rely on the same handful of touchstones, right? Hockey, donuts, loons and beavers and so on. So the idea was to have enough things in the guitar that were familiar and things that would also be revelations for people, that would be introductions to communities and histories that they didn't know, perhaps. For me, the piece of John Ware's Cabin from Alberta, the first black cowboy in Alberta, was an extraordinary story that I just didn't know. It wasn't part of my, as an Ontarian growing up, you know, I learned about the Underground Railroad, and we learned a little bit about Africville in Nova Scotia, but we certainly never heard about black history in Alberta. And there's this fantastic story. So the fact that I learned something like that, I think that gets repeated over and over again across the country. And I certainly find that, you know, when I go to schools and see that the work that the students have done in advance of our arrival, they do their own projects on what they've learned about the guitar from the website or from the packages that we forward to the schools. So that's really a big part of it, is not only appealing to people's sense of received Canadianness, but also to expand people's idea of Canadianness and Canadian history and the Canadian story.
Was there something that you wanted that didn't get included?
Funny enough, I was just thinking about this because I know that there were some things that I went after. I know I remember trying to reach Sandra Schmerler's family and wanting to get something from one of her curling stones, and I wasn't able to get through to the family at all.
Terry Fox?
Well, that's the one thing that I'm actually still going after, because this is something that I thought about early on, was unable to make it happen. But because it's not actually for the guitar itself, but rather for the strap, it could still be done. I'm hoping to get perhaps a leg harness from Terry Fox and to weave that with some seal skin from the hunt and into a new strap.
The case, what is that made out of?
The case is a Calton. Calton was originally an English company and was established in Canada in Calgary by Al Williams and his wife Trudy. They just sold the company to a guy from Moncton, New Brunswick. So New Brunswick becomes the home of yet another music gear legend, because it's also the home of Zildjian cymbals and a couple other things as well. So it's a custom made case from Calton, but we have been adding things to the case interior. So we've added Don Cherry's pants. We cut them into a. We got one of Don Cherry's regular pair of pants, and we cut them into a smaller pair of pants, so they look like a pair of pants in the case. Pierre Burton's bow tie is in there. Karen Kane's Tutu from her 1972 pas de deux with Frank Augustin in Sleeping Beauty that won them the silver medal at the World Ballet Championships in Moscow. That's in there. A little strip of canvas from the very first Stratford Festival tent from 1953 is in there. And I've just received, though not sewn in yet, a little collage, a little fabric collage made by the students of Nelson Mandela Park Public School in Regent Park in Toronto, whose community is undergoing a rather radical transformation. And this is sort of a kind of a keepsake of their neighborhood as it is and what they'd like to carry forward.
When you talk to people and they see the guitar, do you get suggestions about what else to add to either the guitar or the case or whatever?
Periodically people will suggest something, although, you know, I think the first summer, maybe, I got a few more of those. At this point, maybe it's just because people know a little bit better, or maybe it's because in the last couple of years we made this big, you know, 8-foot by 10-foot banner that, in a way, it kind of relieves me of talking for hours on end, because a lot of the information and the frequently asked questions are printed on this thing, and it's sort of people's first encounter with our tent or our booth or whatever it is. And I think once people move into that document and they see the pictures and they're reading about the pieces, I think they feel, wow, like, this is enough.
Yeah, it's like the book. I mean, I've never seen the guitar. After reading the book, I want to see the guitar.
Yeah, yeah.
Has it gotten some notice outside of Canada?
Well, funny you should say that, because I got an invite right out of the blue. I'm trying to remember if it was a phone call or an email. I think it was an email. From a festival, a guitar festival, that takes place every September in northern Italy. The name of the festival is Un Paese e Sei Corde, which means six-string nation.
Really?
Yeah, and this festival, it was no mistake that they found out about us, because Don Ross, who's a good friend of the project and who has written music for this guitar, he played that festival as one of the great guitar players in the world. And I guess when they told him what the name of the festival meant, he was like, oh, that's funny, because, you know, I'm involved with this project in Canada called Six String Nation. So they contacted me, and they invited us this September. They invited us a year ago. And unfortunately, I'm still trying to raise the travel funds necessary to get myself and the photo crew there. So we're tentatively on for the first week of September, but I still need to raise the travel funding for that.
And people can donate going to the website, right? Sixstringnation.com?
Absolutely. Although, to tell you the truth, I was kind of hoping that, you know, I thought this would be a great opportunity for some Italian-Canadian businesses to express not only their pride in Canada, but also their linkage to Italy, and sort of help underwrite the trip that way. I've reached out a little bit, but not had much response thus far.
The book has fascinating photographs of people famous and not so famous holding the guitar. Was it fun putting this book together?
It was. You know, I'll tell you, this is my little confession. Like, sometimes at, you know, Doug is, well, there's two photographers for the book, first of all. There's Chandra Fisley, who did all the materials photographs and the construction photographs. And then there's Doug Nicholson, who did most of the concert and candid photographs and all of the portraits. And, you know, we go through these festivals, and we take all these portraits, and every time Doug sends me the folder full of the latest batch, I'm riveted. I'm just riveted at all the beautiful Canadian faces and all their diverse glory, and I am so warmed by it. And I'll find myself, you know, scrolling through these banks of images, and it's late at night, and I got the laptop on my chest, and I'm saying, okay, I'll just look at 10 more, and then I'll go to bed, then I'll go to sleep. And then I find I've looked at 20, and I say, okay, well, I'll look at 50 more. And I'm so entranced by these images. I think they're the truest portrait of Canada I've ever seen.
was the biggest piece, the biggest actual piece, is that the piece of spruce from Haida Gwaii?
In terms of real estate on the guitar, the most of it is occupied by the St. Boniface Museum, the Convent of the Grey Nuns in Winnipeg.
Right.
It's the greater part of the back and on the sides of the guitar as well. Next to that, yes, the golden spruce from Haida Gwaii is the whole face of the guitar, the top of the guitar. And the other than that, the piece that is utilized in the most other places is the Blue Nose II. So that forms part of the laminate of the neck. It's a little bit of detail on the rosette. It's the top block and the end block inside the guitar.
Is there a piece that people want to see when they see the guitar that they want to ask you about? Or
That totally depends on the community. And universally, people want to touch Maurice Richard's Stanley Cup ring on the 9th fret. Very predominantly, people, and very predominantly women, want to touch Pierre Trudeau's canoe paddle, which is the tone bar just inside the guitar.
There's a joke there, isn't there?
Well, not only that, but in order to touch that, you have to kind of put your middle finger in next to the strings. And I always think of Pierre Trudeau and the finger, the famous finger. Kind of an echo of that, and that wasn't intentional. And then the story that I love to tell is when we went to the Canadian Oyster Shucking Championships at the Tyne Valley Oyster Festival in the summer of 2006. That is significant because there's a piece of Joe LeBobe's championship oyster shucking knife. He was a Mi'kmaq shucker from Lennox Island First Nation on PEI, and he'd been dead a few years at that point. So there we were in this arena while the championships were going on, and we had our booth set up, and people were coming up to see the guitar. And although lots of people wanted to see Maurice Richard's ring, especially in PEI where the Habs are the team of choice, and Trudeau's paddle and all that kind of stuff, but so many people came up to us and said, "Where's Joe's knife?" Because that was theirs. That was their contribution to this community, to this guitar, and that's something I experience over and over again. The number of people, I cannot tell you, who have been to the Wildcat Cafe in Yellowknife is astonishing. We're going to be in Yellowknife for the first time July the 15th and 16th, I think it is. But man, oh man, whenever I point it out, because it's placed conveniently next to Paul Henderson's hockey stick from 72, so I always point out the Wildcat, and it's astounding the number of people say, "Oh, I've been there."
Yeah. Are you planning to come to Vancouver anytime?
Yeah, I hope to be there in September.
Looking at the guitar now through this book, and because we're so close to Canada Day this week, do you have a better sense, perhaps, of what Canada means?
I think part of my vision about what I wanted to accomplish with this is realized whenever I take it around, and that is that there's a the reason for doing this was that I felt with the 1995 referendum upon us that all of the other experiences of Canada, I mean, that debate, and how, and, really, frankly, I completely understood the Quebec nationalist impulse. It makes total sense that this is a part of the country that really understands that it has a culture. It participates so vitally in its own culture, and they, Quebecers buy their own books and their own records, and they watch their own TV shows and movies and all that kind of stuff. So, with the possible exception of Newfoundland, the rest of the country is not so good at doing that. We sort of resent being force-fed our own culture, and we don't really have a keen idea of what it is, and we don't talk about it very much. So, part of the idea of the guitar was to get that debate going and get people thinking about their own story, their own community, their own region, their own history, their own culture as part of the big Canadian story. When I go out with the guitar, people absolutely connect at that level. They absolutely they're very, very happy to touch this instrument, play this instrument, see this instrument that reflects exactly that, the local role on the national stage. I'm not sure I've been so successful at getting people to make that leap between culture and identity and history. I think there's still a reticence amongst Canadians to really spend a lot of time, or at least English Canadians, to spend a lot of time thinking about what we eat and how we talk and all those things as culture. I've encountered this sentiment that culture is something that the government pays for and entertainment is something that you buy, and that they're not really the same thing. And that's something I would love to change. There may be something else within the project or that I can do with the project to get over that hump. Or maybe it's not surmountable. I don't know. But that's the challenge that remains for me is closing that circle. Not just tying people together, not just letting them feel that they're all part of one gigantic family, but also that the family has a story that counts and that is interesting, that's fascinating, and that's part of their story.
Joey, it's been a pleasure talking to you today. You've done a tremendous service to the country, I think, for putting all this together. Congratulations on it. Continued good luck with the book.
Thanks so much, Joey. Really appreciate it.
You're very welcome, and happy Canada Day.
Thanks, you too, and we'll see you in Vancouver.
We'll do. The book is called Six String Nation, 64 Pieces, Six Strings, One Canada, One Guitar. It's published by Douglas and McIntyre. The website for more is sixstringnation.com. The author, Joey Taylor, on the line. I'm Joseph Plata.